For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The 5 at 5 is brought to you every day by Duplicating Systems, more than a system, a solution. So, Joe, without any further ado, young man, okay. Fire away.
Okay. Biggest surprise over the weekend, Notre Dame over USC, Penn State over Michigan. I mean, not the fact that each team won, but
the margin,
the way in which it was accomplished, or the Falcons.
I would say...
Did anybody think the Falcons would just go lay an egg in Foxborough?
No.
That's not what we talked about all last week.
No, I thought they would play much better than that. I think the biggest surprise there, Joe, is margin of victory for Notre Dame over Southern Cal. I thought that was going to be a great game. But for Notre Dame to go out there and just beat them by 35, holy smokes.
I never saw 5 touchdowns.
No.
You can see Notre Dame winning. You can see them trending up. You can see them playing well.
Sure.
But it's not like USC stinks.
No. You know, and they're one of those teams. Remember that, you know, USC's one of those teams. You know, there was even a bet out there. Hey, would you go ahead and take this 4, you know, in the playoff? And it was Alabama, Ohio State, USC, and Florida State. So it's like, let's just pump the brakes. They did lose 3 games last year. And then, and for Notre Dame, obviously they got some issues. And you know, a lot of it, too, is how do you handle the pressure. And yeah, USC's got an unbelievable program. They've been in the national spotlight, but you know, it's been a few years since they came in with the great high expectations. And people are talking about Sam Darnold, number one pick, Heisman Trophy, all that stuff. And he's just not clicking right now. So they've got a lot of issues.
A lot of what I've seen, a lot of what I heard early on in the season anyhow, is that he just wasn't able to find his receivers. I'm not certain if it's a chemistry thing or if his receivers are not running the proper routes the proper way. It's probably some combination of the two.
Yes. I mean, usually, and that's the thing, if a passing game's not going, that's why I always love the running game. Running games don't slump. You know, you got those big linemen, you got those backs.
Just get in there, pound the rock.
Yeah, I mean, injuries can obviously have something to do with that. But, I mean, if you're relying, and some games you're going to have to rely on throwing, but if you have to rely on throwing the football every time out, it's just
How much of a passing game is a timing thing?
A lot of.
I mean, three steps.
You gotta
steps
have the line
fire.
Protect you.
Yeah.
You gotta have the timing with the quarterback and who he's throwing it to you.
If a blitz is coming, you've got to have somebody coming open on that slant and
somebody
knowing that he's supposed to run a slant. So yeah, so much of it is a timing thing, and if that doesn't exist, then where are you now?
No, I hear you. But they've got some issues. I think Michigan, like we said, we kind of knew they'd be down a little bit, and their quarterback got hurt. And I mean, Penn State looked really, really good. So hey, both Penn State and Notre Dame, two traditional old powers, they got signature victories against two traditional old powers. I mean, you're talking about between Penn State, Michigan, Notre Dame, and USC. That's a lot of wins and a lot of championships.
That's
between
a lot
those
of
four.
Eyeballs, also.
That is a lot of eyeballs there.
Wow.
And,
So
I got Notre Dame and get my vote. Who would you say?
I would have said the Falcons.
Okay.
I mean, it's one thing to lose 23-7. It's something else to lose 23-7 the way they did. I mean, going for it on 4th-and-7, going for it on 4th-and-6, nothing screams we're in their head like Atlanta going for it on 4th-and-7 early in the game.
You know, I don't have as big a problem with that. But, I mean, to me, what just reeked of incompetence was you got 20-something seconds to go in the third quarter, clock's running, you're down 20-0, and they don't get a playoff. You've got to at least get another play. Ideally, you try and score there to get that TD before that quarter ends. I mean, you've just completely burned 20 seconds there in a chance to, if you don't score, you get a good playoff and get closer. You've basically stolen time because that first play of the fourth quarter is going to start on the snap there. So when that happened, I thought that was negligence. And then when they go empty, fourth and goal on the one with those backs.
Yeah.
And granted, Taylor Gabriel, he's the fastest guy, and they run wide with the smallest guy on the team.
That's why spread offenses don't do well in the red zone like that.
I mean, that's just one. Those were, to me, and again, I really don't have a rooting interest in the Falcons. If they win, great. If they lose, I'm over it in a second. But that was one just watching that I'm just saying, if that would have happened to Georgia, I would have lost my mind. And I've got a lot of my buddies who are diehard Falcons fans, and both of those things had them absolutely losing their minds. So they got some issues, but like Drew Butler was saying, we had him on with us in the first hour, it is a long, long, long season. In the end, all that matters is if you make the playoffs. And if you do, hey, Eli Manning and the Giants have shown us twice. Kurt Warner, Larry Fitzgerald, and the Cardinals showed us once. If you make the playoffs, you can get hot and make a run. And that's especially happened in the NFC because, you know, for years you had the triumvirate. I mean, the Super Bowl was either going to be Brady, Peyton Manning, or Big Ben. It was going to be one of those guys.
It's true, yeah.
But that NFC, just a lot of times you get the hot hand in there.
Well, and Aaron Rodgers is out for the season, too.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, the NFC's wide open.
Cam Newton as my starting fantasy quarterback?
Yeah, he's
laid an egg. Up. Yeah, that's...
I mean, tell me, who's good right now in the NFL? I mean, somebody's got to win the Super Bowl. And usually, in theory, if there's a down year in a sport, like I remember, I thought in 2011, college basketball was just down. There weren't a lot of good teams. And Duke winds up winning the thing. So this could be a year. It's like, boy, who's going to sneak in there? Well, you know, was it going to be the Patriots? Is it going to be the Steelers? You know, you could have said the Packers, but they're obviously not going to do it without Rodgers. I mean, the Eagles look like the best team in the NFC. You know, in the AFC, who would you say? The Chiefs, Pittsburgh.
And the Chiefs lost their last two. The Chiefs are still a good team.
They are, but they don't.
But Eric Berry is out for the season.
Yeah, he's their best
player.
Yeah. I mean, it's some of those teams in the AFC South are intriguing. Like Jacksonville either blows somebody out or they lose. They're 4-3, but their scoring margin's up at the top. The NFC, I mean, don't sleep on them. I mean, the LA Rams, they're having a really good season.
See, and that's been what a lot of the storyline has been, I think, in the NFL, is you don't have one team stand out, which I think I think Drew Butler hit on something pretty good, and that's that there is no one good team, and all that's going to do is create more compelling matchups and easier sells for talking heads on Sunday afternoon. But also what's been talked about league-wide is the Chargers can't draw flies.
Well, of course not.
I mean, and the Raiders are moving to Las Vegas. I mean, these aren't things that the NFL wants to talk about, and I'm sure they would love to change the narrative. And having somebody, I mean, I realize that there's no love lost between Mr. Kraft and Roger Goodell, the owner of the New England Patriots, but if you could have something like that, if you could have a team going 9-0, 10-0 out of the gate, and let's face it, the Patriots are as likely a suspect as anyone. But if you had something like that, if you had that compelling standout football team, I think that would be kind of a helpful thing for the league at this point.
I do, too. So, I mean, so what are you going to have? Eagles and Rams in the NFC and
God, not the Rams.
Chiefs and
Please,
Jags in
the
AFC? Is that what we're going to see?
Well, these are teams that we had all written off at the start of the season. And the players are starting to come around on Sean McVay's ways of thinking.
Oh, I know.
And they're starting to win football games. They're starting to look okay doing it.
Yeah, and I'll give credit where credit's due. I mean, Todd Gurley's obviously great. I think he's the best back in the NFL. Jared Goff, Braman, I both thought was a bust, was a horrible pick. He's playing really good.
He's doing all
right.
You've
got to give him credit. And they've got good talent on that defense.
And you know who else we wrote off at the start of the season? The Jets and the Jaguars.
The Jets. Everybody thought they were going to tank.
Yep.
They're playing well this year. I mean, I thought they might go like 2-14. They're playing well. All right, what else you got, Joe?
Okay. Elsewhere, Hate Week begins. K-State is at KU. That's one version of Hate Week.
There you go.
The one that's a little more relevant. The biggest thing for Georgia to concentrate on is practice starts back up, getting ready for the Gators.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is just Florida. And they were working hard on the Gators last week, and they'll be doing it again this week. And for Kirby and the team, and this is where the leaders have to help with that. And I think the fans, too. You're just looking at this week, and you're not worried about the talk of where Georgia's ranked and playoffs and all that stuff. You just worry about this week. And so far, I mean, the team has done an unbelievable job of that, because there has, after that Notre Dame win, there has not been a letdown.
There's not been any drop off at all.
No, it's been very impressive.
31-3, 41-0. You know, going out and taking care of your business.
I agree with you, and it worried me. You know, I knew everybody'd be up for Tennessee, and I know the Vols are a little bit down this year. But after that, you know, what about with Florida? So we still got to play Vandy in Missouri. And Georgia beat them by 31-25. Now, obviously, Missouri, they tested Georgia. That thing was 21-21 in the first half. And, mm-hmm. and give Mizzou credit. They played a good game that night.
That wasn't a team that – not so much Missouri, but what Missouri does. That mm-hmm. was something that Georgia hadn't really seen this season.
That's right. And Florida's going to take some shots. Everybody is the rest of the way. You know, an area where Georgia could potentially be had has been exposed, and I'm sure there's been a lot of time that's been spent on that. But one of the great things about this Georgia team is how you've seen the defense, the offense, and the special teams all play well, and if one of the units might make a bad play, you're seeing the other unit pick them up, which is great. That is awesome. That's the circle of life. That's right. True. There, the defense and the special teams and the offense and the special teams and the defense. It's a beautiful thing. Well, when it's going good.
And a lot of time, I think special teams, I mean, it gets talked about all the time how overlooked it is.
Right.
I mean, but when you're talking about punting, I mean, you're talking about pinning somebody at their 5-yard line versus
huge.
Pinning them at their 20. That's a 15-yard difference. That's 15 yards. That's a first down. That's three
first
downs
down
that the
half.
Offense doesn't have to worry about converting.
I'll give you one in 1980 for the national champions, a great Scott Werner, All-American and College Football Hall of Famer, averaged 13.5 yards per punt return. Georgia gave up 2 punt return yards all year. Not 2 per punt, 2 all year.
2 yards.
Yes, and this team is right. We were at like -4. So you start thinking about that. Every time there was a punt exchange in 1980, Georgia was picking up a first down and a third. And this team is in that ballpark there.
That's 2 yards all season.
2 yards all season.
That's remarkable.
It is. It is.
So, and you're also, because some teams, if they're lacking in certain areas, will have, you know, will lean on their special teams a little bit, lean mm-hmm. on a kick returner, punt returner. If you've got somebody fast back there, you don't need to be 6'5 to catch a punt. If you're smaller and you're a little faster,
right.
you've got a little bit of, you've got a place on a special teams unit like that. But if not only are you gaining 15 yards on the exchange, you're also keeping the ball out of the hands of some pretty serious playmakers.
No question about it. Now, that's a great point. And the special team, it's been night and day. It was awful last year, and it's been great. And every coach pays lip service to special teams, but you can see
so
Georgia
few,
put in the work this year.
I mean, how many coaches are out there, whether they will say it or not, hate kickers?
Yeah.
As a result, you might spend a little less time concentrating on, I hate kickers. I hate messing with special teams. But you know what? It won us a ball game at Notre Dame.
Oh, gosh.
Special teams took care of business for the Dogs in South Bend.
Well, if you play, if you think Georgia in a league like the SEC and Tech and Notre Dame this year, plus App State, whatever, the odds are half your games are going to be a one-possession game.
Yep.
That kick, that punt can make all the difference. We've been on the bad end of that, but so far so good in 2017.
So elsewhere,
mm-hmm.
something that you know you said we would get back to, something that you probably don't really want to talk about.
Yeah,
I was kind of a little enamored of a Yankees-Dodgers World Series.
I was too.
Just so that I can go back to being a 8-year-old kid at
mm-hmm.
least for a week and a half.
Yeah.
But you know, Houston decided that they weren't having any of that.
Houston played well.
Whereas the nation was watching TCU cover the 39 against the University of Kansas.
Kansas has had their number, too.
I mean, TCU could have picked their number in that game.
Yes, they could.
But that was the nationwide telecast, whereas on Fox Sports 1, it was the ALCS Game 7, and Houston just went out there and
they dominated.
You know, they didn't let the Yankees breathe in that Game 7.
Well, I thought the play of the game, it was 1-0. Yankees got runners on the corners with one out. Slow bouncer to third, throw home. McCann's able to hold on to the throw and get the tag down. So instead of 1-1, it's still 1-0, and the Yanks don't score there. Houston comes back and adds another one. Then they kept tacking on. And, Charlie Morton out there, that just, Charlie Morton, come on. But He pitched good, and Houston deserved to win it. I thought they'd win game six. I think we talked about that on Friday. I just figured with Verlander.
We kind of figured that it would come down to a game seven because
right.
from what we had heard Verlander say,
yes.
He was hitting all the right notes.
Yes.
They brought me here to do this. I want to be the guy right. with the ball on the mound in game six to take care of business in a spot like this.
And what did he do? What, count the regular season? Is he now 7-0? Because I think he was 5-0 for them in the regular season.
That sounds correct. I'd have to double check on that. But he's really done well.
Well, he's one of those. There are not many of them out there. He's one of those Hoss number one Cy Young aces.
Remember those Tigers teams that he was a part of with Max Scherzer?
Tremendous.
You thought that the Tigers rotation was set for the next 10 years. Now they are in the bottom of the division and they're trading people away. Scherzer left to the Nationals a few years ago, but
they kind of ran into one of those deals, I think, where 90% of their salary was in like three or four guys because they had Cabrera. Then, they got Prince Field or two. And it's hard to do that.
Yeah, then you have to wait for all those contracts to expire.
Right.
Bobby Bonilla, who's still getting $1 million a year from the Mets.
Greatest contract ever. Bobby Bo. How about that? All right, anything else, young man?
One other surprise. What in the Big 12 North is going on here if Iowa State is 5-2?
That's a great question, Joe. I'm glad you brought that up because I was thinking, and sometimes, and I'm the first to do it, just talking about awful losses. And that was an awful loss for Oklahoma. But you know what? Iowa State's backed it up. And now as more time goes, it doesn't look quite as bad for Boomer Sooner, does it? Let's look at Iowa State right now. They lost a tough game to Iowa. Okay. They lost a tough game to Texas, but they've beaten Oklahoma, Kansas, and Texas Tech the last 3 weeks. Can they hang in with TCU? Yes. I think TCU will win the game, but...
I think it'll be a really good game.
I do too.
Who's catching what in that game?
Vegas Insider here momentarily. I would guess it's about 16-17.
See how racy is, see who gets there first.
If I had to guess.
Because
let's see, where is a game in Fort Worth? Let me look at said helmet schedule. That's in Ames, in beautiful Ames, Iowa.
Ames, America.
Yeah, so, that's, again, but that's one for Oklahoma. That was an awful loss, and it still is a bad loss. It was a really awful loss at the time. But, kind of as time goes on and Iowa State's backed that up, that's a team that was 3-9 last year.
Iowa State's catching 6.5 at home.
Oh, that spread's only a touchdown.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's.
They might win then.
And we won't jump into staff meteorologist mode, but
Who knows
what the weather's going to be like in Iowa this weekend.
Although,
if you can defense doesn't care about the weather. If you can defend,
you can.
You can defend in the snow, the rain, it doesn't matter.
The only way, some teams now, it used to be you couldn't throw the ball in the rain, but some teams now, the fields are in such better shape and with the balls and the technology. Some teams now like their odds of throwing because they figure the receiver knows where he's going. The DB doesn't, so that DB may slip.
Nobody gets muddy anymore in a college football game.
No. The fields are too good a shape.
Yeah.
It's good stuff. So, yeah, who knows? Maybe Iowa State can pull that one off, too. All right, great job, Joe. You the man.
Yes, sir.
That is the 5 at 5 brought to you by Duplicating Systems, more than a system, a solution.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile. And the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.